Morning, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Claudia.
Hi, AJ. While we're waiting for a few more people to show up, everyone, would you mind just typing into the chat window, your first life names and what your work is, and whether you're higher ed or working in TSL with teens? That would save us a little time. We'll give people a few more minutes, just like another
Just like
minute.
another minute.
And then
And then
during
during
the
the
event, the
event,
meeting,
the
just
meeting,
keep your
just
mics
keep your
muted so that we don't get echoing if you're not
echoing if
talking,
you're
okay?
okay.
So, Anna, can you turn
Can
your
you
mic
turn your
off?
mic off? Oh, sorry, I didn't realize it was open.
Thanks. Just open and close them as you need to talk. Thanks.
I just want to get a level. Am I okay? This is Peggy.
Sound great, Peggy.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I've got a couple more people that are needing teleports, so just bring them over. Let's see. All right. I think we can go ahead and get started. I don't think we want to wait too much longer. So what do you think? Does that sound good? We'll get started. Hi, Rick. While you were before you got here. Okay, one more person. So we'll give them another minute. Would you type into the chat window, Rick, what your real life name is and what you're doing, where you're working, whether you're working in Teen Second Life or the main grid or both? And Wesley Field is arriving, and it's 2 a.m. in Australia, so you get. And I don't know what time it is for Anna, but thanks for coming, Wesley. Wow. For sacrificing your
Sacrificing your
sleep.
sleep.
I'm glad your alarm worked, Wesley. Okay, so I've got one more person still, a couple more people still to bring over. Okay, hold on. See. Wow. Okay, and Fleep. Fleep. See, I'm getting a I am from one other person, and then I think we'll start. But I can't find where her. Oh, is Fleep here? I
Yeah, I
see.
teleported her.
Oh, 'cause that's what was so confusing. I thought I saw a chat from her, so I was looking to tell her. Okay, so I think we're cool, huh? So let's get started, all right? And if anyone else pings, I'll bring them over. Thank you for coming, and maybe you get the prize for the insane hour of night to be in a Second Life meeting, Wesley. So our appreciation. I'd like to introduce JP Linden here. JP is a program manager at Linden Lab, and I'd like to introduce Ken Linden, who's a lawyer here at Linden Lab. Both have been working extensively on this project with the adult content, and they'll be doing a brief overview. In the meantime, if you have questions, I'll be taking those via IM, so you can just send them in IMs to me. And then when Ken and JP are finished with their overview, we'll start in with the questions in the order that we've received them. All right. At least I'll try and do that the best I can. There's enough of it. It's a small enough group that I think it'll work. Does that sound good, everybody? Just so you know, we'll also be trying to record this session, and so we'll have a chat. We'll transcribe that, and we'll make that available for people who weren't able to attend and for the wider community. And Rafi, I think Barry had asked if you could take some pictures, and that is fine. All right. So thanks for asking. Okay, let's take it away, Ken and JP.
Thank you. Thank you, Claudia, and thank you, everyone, for coming. It means a lot to us that we're getting your input and that we've got a good turnout here today. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about this adult content initiative. Probably everybody has at least read the blog post, maybe followed a little bit of the discussion in the forums. But I'll spend a couple of minutes in particular talking about exactly what we're doing, what it is going to mean for our community, and in particular what it's going to mean for the educational community, educators and students. I'll apologize in advance. I have a cold. I don't usually sound like this. There are some people who, I guess when they have a cold, sound more interesting and romantic and sexy and all that. I'm not one of those people, so if you hear me coughing, I apologize for that. So essentially, this adult content initiative is about giving our residents more control, more predictability around their experience, around the types of activities they're going to encounter, the types of businesses they're going to encounter, and the types of content that they're going to see. And in particular, of course, it's about giving users, whether that means educators or other people in the community, a more predictable experience, more control over whether they see, encounter, or associate with adult content, sexually explicit material in particular, but also intensely violent stuff and all the things that, you know, there has been this back and forth over for some time. There, as we laid out in the blog post of a couple of weeks ago, there are going to be several separate components to this particular initiative. First, there are going to be land designations built on the region level. So region owners are going to be required to designate their land either as adult or mature or PG. Adult is going to be for all of the types of activities that, you know, you usually think of as being adult. It's sexual, virtual sex going on and that type of thing. Mature is going to be the vast rest of the normal sort of gameplay, commercial activity, or merchants, clubs, etc., that don't fall into the adult category. And we're also going to create a separate PG designation, which is going to be an option for anyone that wants what you'd think of as a truly clean, somewhat maybe more isolated experience, so that they don't have to associate, if they don't want to, with even the other sort of gameplay that goes on that might not be adult but might appear in that sort of mid-range category of region designations. The second component of the initiative is going to be an adult verification or age verification method, where anybody that wants to get in to the adult regions is going to have to go through either the age verification solution that we've been using for some time on a voluntary basis, or have a payment method on file. And if we could think of any other credible way to have sort of a proxy for age verification, although we know it's not infallible, we would put that in place as well. Third, we're going to have search filtering going on. What that means is that, of course, a lot of adult-oriented businesses, parcels, use certain search tags that are clearly associated with adult activity. So things that suggest explicit sex, sort of your, George Carlin seven dirty words, and then some. Anybody that uses those search tags to get people into their parcel, onto their land, is going to automatically essentially be deemed an adult business. In other words, if you are not verified as an adult, you're not going to be able to see those search results. You're not going to be able to get into that parcel. Finally, for people who are on the mainland, and there is a relatively small amount of adult-oriented content and activity going on the mainland, we're creating a wholly separate sort of special use mainland, or part of our mainland, for adult activities to go on. And we're asking people who are engaging in adult activities on an ongoing way, in a public way, to move there. So what will this do? What will this enable for educators? And you know, the broader educational community. Well, first, it will create a way, a programmatic way and an enforceable and effective way for educators and other similar organizations who really don't want to associate and want to set themselves apart from adult activity, whether that means in search, whether it means geographically, whether it means on a region level. To do that, it'll create not only sort of a common understanding that adult activities are maybe to some residents a different use case than what they're interested in, and it'll create a way to enforce that understanding and differentiate our experiences. It'll create a healthy layer of assurance that kids, minors, are not going to get into the regions and parcels that have real adult activity going on in them. And you've probably read about some of the stuff or seen it already. That stuff that we don't want kids to get into, and it's they're places that frankly the owners of that land, the operators of those businesses, don't want kids to be in. So we think that's a win-win. And finally, by creating this PG designation, we pave the way to other potential use cases, other ways to, set educators or other, groupings of PG activity apart, whether, that means in search or conceptually or some other way. We don't know exactly where that's going to head, but we think it's a good idea to begin that discussion, where we see a PG clean experience as something that may have special uses in Second Life and particular interest to some people. The next steps are obviously a lot of dialogue with many different communities who are affected. We hope generally positively by this development. We think it's a very good development for the community as a whole. We're going to be providing very clear definitions and guidelines so that people know exactly how to mark their land and how to make all of this happen in a way that's as painless as possible. And we're eager to hear everyone's feedback as to how we can make this as useful as possible for everyone that we're trying to, you know, assist and accommodate and work with. So I'm going to, if JP or Claudia may have something to add. If not, we're very eager to hear questions and eager to clarify anything we can.
Oh, that's awesome, Ken. Thank you for covering that. I don't think I have anything to add to that.
Okay. I don't have anything to add at this point, but we do have our first question, and so I'm going to paste it into chat. I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to speak to some of the questions here. So this is from AJ, and as I mentioned earlier, AJ hosts the strange. Okay.
Do you want to just ask it, AJ?
Yeah, AJ, go ahead. You can ask it if you want. just had it on.
Which one? I actually posted two questions. All right, there it is. The first question is, if we displayed a picture of Michelangelo's David, what type of content would that be considered, given that David is entirely naked and has got all his bits in place? And number two is, I have a psychology faculty member who teaches a class called Sexual Deviance. Now, if he were decide to teach in World, could he use our Montclair State University Island? And what would that be considered? And I guess as I listened to you talk, the third question came up. I heard you use the word kids, and I see Rafi's here and Maggie's here. So I tend to believe that perhaps we are talking about a move to emerging of the grids. And is that, in fact, the case? And those were the three questions I posted.
So I'm very, very glad that you asked those questions, because it's really something that I should have addressed in my introduction. The way we're writing the definitions, there would be an exception that we would be very careful to enforce, so that anything, you know, as in real life, anything that has, you know, a significant, you know, cultural or educational value, or any, I mean, there'll be several exceptions, or any, you know, content that's only passive, or that's, you know, part of a cultural exhibit, or that, you know, isn't essentially there simply for, you know, the sexual content itself. It's very hard to draw these lines, but the bottom line is that the exceptions would provide a way for educational and cultural activities to not be categorized as adult. What we're trying to get at, honestly, is a way for residents who don't want to encounter, let's say, the orgy rooms, or, you know, sex rooms, or sex clubs, that type of thing, which we don't want to, you know, ban in any way, and we're not trying to do that. You know, they exist, and they're part of, you know, what Second Life is. But we're trying to provide a way for people to essentially filter that experience out if they want to. But the examples that you're giving, we would have exceptions in place to distinguish that from the other examples I gave, because I think that's the way that most residents, maybe not all, but most residents would, you know, would see that distinction in their mind. As to any merging of the teen grid and the adult grid, this is not in parallel with anything, you know, of that nature. This is, you know, meeting totally other demands and purposes. I'd let Claudia speak to that question, simply because it's not my area.
Yeah, I will just take 1 minute to speak briefly to the question. You know, a lot of people are assuming that this means that a grid a grid merge is tied to it. And I think it's important for you to know that, and I know that all of you here know that we recognize the challenges for education projects that the 18 plus and the 13 to 17 split create. And that there are many challenges for projects in TSL. Some of you here have just been fantastic in innovating in spite of those challenges. I think many of you know also that we've been taking in feedback from a number of different groups in higher ed, K-12, and also nonprofits, foundations that have a stake in these issues. And we're currently doing a series of interviews with key stakeholders to help us to design solutions to solve these challenging issues. We still have no clear-cut plan. We're exploring several different models, and that's the purpose of some of the interviews that we'll be doing. So this move with that we're currently doing is really a totally separate issue, and I think it's important to just keep that clear.
I see there's a question from, I'm going to mispronounce this, from Bhikkhu Beeks.
Should let's see. I address? Hold on a minute. Let's just back up and do them in order. I was typing some in into the chat. So did we answer all of your questions, AJ? Can we close your mic for a minute? It looks like we answered most of your questions that you had there, right?
Yes.
The next,
okay,
good.
Thank you, Claudia.
The next one was from Broden Simon, who's Jeremy Hunsinger, and Jeremy's asking, are you going to be able to track who goes to adult parcels, and is that data going to be subpoenable or otherwise able to be reported to community or preserved for what purposes?
This is not going to change the way that we keep our records. It's not meant to do that. People go where they go, and that's the issue of subpoenas is really a wholly separate issue. If we do get subpoenaed by the government because someone's committed a crime or done something like that, theoretically we would have to turn over whatever documents we have. We haven't honestly been in that situation, so it's kind of hard to create the hypothetical where that would happen and that kind of information would be relevant.
Thanks. The next question was from Bhikkhu Beeks, Rafi Santos, who works with Global Kids in Teen Second Life, and also has Global Kids has a presence in the adult grid as well. And he's asking, what if someone doesn't tag their parcel as having adult content, but it still does? That would still show up in search, no?
So that's a really interesting question. There's an element of sort of incentivization built around all of this, which is that the businesses and the clubs that are most active, most visible, really trying to pull people in and advertise themselves, which are also often the types of businesses that some other people don't want to see, don't want to be associated with, generally, in order to attract their advertisers and simply to advertise, have to use search tags that are going to match what they're doing. So search tags describing sex acts, describing, et cetera. You get the idea. If those businesses use those search tags, they're only going to be visible to people that have gone through the verification process. And they will probably want to be located on a place that is adult, so that their users know where to find them. On the other hand, if they locate in a place that's on a region that's not adult, they don't mark their region as or locate their parcel on an adult region, then they're likely to get an abuse report, and that's something that we would have to enforce. On the other hand, if someone is doing something really passive just in their own home and nobody really sees them and they're not trying to pull people in, that's not the type of thing that we're really concerned about here. It's not the sort of thing that, frankly, our community seems very concerned about. Does that get to what you're asking? And your concern is about increased harm to the population of adult businesses?
Let's finish with Biku's question, Rafi, and make sure that, you know, we've got that answer. Burden, will you hold off, please, and post your comments into IM to me so that we can have so we can track this conversation a little easier? Right now, Ken is addressing Rafi's question. Thank you.
So is your question is that there may be potential exposure, and I'm not quite sure what you mean. Exposure, in other words, where people might encounter adult activities.
So just to clarify, Rafi, it sounds like you might be getting at the behavior as opposed to content, adult behavior. Is that the distinction that you're making? Okay. Can you speak to that, Glenn? Ken?
I can speak to it, but I want to make sure I understand the question. Is your question whether this is going to cover behavior or only content?
Why don't you go ahead and use voice,
Rafi?
Sure. So I guess what I'm thinking about is that not everybody who is creating adult content is necessarily advertising. Or interested in advertising, it still can exist on the grid, and people who don't advertise, and I could be wrong in my understanding, it would seem under this new system, they'd still be able to exist in places like sandboxes and whatnot, wearing their, loaded parts, whether it's, either on or kind of hidden. But still visible to people in places that wouldn't be age verified, and that anybody who's in that space can still see that. Is my understanding correct?
I think that's right. If I understand where you're going, look, big picture, the challenge that we have is not making these rules over broad, because we don't want to sweep in a lot of marginal, not very publicly visible or accessible conduct. That's not what anyone wants, and that just wouldn't be good for the platform as a whole. So we're trying to draft the definitions to cover only publicly advertised or accessible activities. So if you're doing something in a relatively private way on your own land, on your own, in your own house, you're not in search, you're not search tagging to try to create a very public experience around that. That's not what we're intending to cover. We're also not intending to cover just the, ephemeral, activity. If you happen to, simulate sex on, right now on this, on this, in this place or somewhere else, because there's no way simply to do that, obviously, be completely ineffective. Does that answer your question?
Okay. So let's, Peggy Sheehy had asked the question, are we including teens in these discussions? And I just wanted to say that actually we did invite at least one teen here today. And thank you. We are having office hours in Teen Second Life. I know Blue has been having some, and we'll make sure that we are including the teen voice. AJ asks, how will Linden Lab police this effort? Will they go out and seek infractions or rely on abuse reports?
I can probably speak to that. The intention, at least as we introduce the program and introduce this idea, it's very new to us to purpose-build zoning and policies around content that are that align in this way, that do require a bit of what could ultimately be a very subjective conclusion by the people who are involved in deciding what this content looks like. I think the initial rollout is going to be let's come to some common understanding. That's what this is about. That's what these meetings and the forum posts are about. Let's all have what we can agree is a common understanding of what some of these definitions are, what some of the terms are, what some of the activities are. And from there, we will probably, use the first round of, we'll still use the community standards system. So there'll be ARs for items or builds that we know to be there. I mean, we can't just pretend that they're not, and we'll probably be in contact with those people. They're probably in contact with us already, in fact. And we want to make sure that, we have the ability to have a common understanding. We're not here to run these people out of Second Life, quote unquote. It's not our intention to take any content out of Second Life. It's just our intention is to make sure that it exists in an appropriate location with an appropriate threshold to access it. And that's more the point of it. So there won't be bans. We're not staffing up in our resi team to eradicate these people from the main grid. The idea is that we're going to provide a place for everybody to have what they want to have in the way of an experience and content. And so the process is going to be more of informational, getting people up to speed on what it means. And where we do have to go case by case, we absolutely will. We've got quite a bit of experience doing that, and it should be a it won't be an easy process, but it's certainly one we can do efficiently.
Let's see, what's the next question on the...
So the next question was just some follow-ons to Jeremy Hunsinger's original question, I think. So number 7 in the chat here. The thing with tracking, that creating a category of adult creates a new population that uses those that are then at a higher degree of personal risk. So my worry is about increased harm to said population. Adults are generally exposed and under risk.
So your concern is that people who view the adult content will be under greater risk now because why? I'm not sure I follow. So let me explain a little bit better what this is gonna look like. The two things that this is essentially going to do. It's not going to change the nature of the content. It's not going to change the way that people find the content. It's not going to change what it looks like. It's in many cases not going to change even where it's located. Still going to be there, still going to be the same, frankly, still going to be the same audience. What it's going to change, though, is it's going to make it somewhat harder, or if not harder, at least it will require users to take several affirmative steps before actually getting there. So that's the first thing it'll do. And the second thing it'll do, which is related, is it'll provide a way for people that don't want to see it or be associated with it to basically disassociate with it. So I guess I'd challenge the idea that we're creating a separate category of content. We're not doing that any more than that happens in the real world. I mean, you don't create pornography simply by, you know, locating it in a certain place or another, or, you know, requiring that people show ID to view it. It's simply creating a way to give users more control over how they relate to that content.
Okay. Hold on, and let me scroll up to the next question. From Maggie, I think. Did I lose it? Okay, I'll go back.
Are we at eight?
I thought I pasted it in. Hold on, I see it. So Maggie, I pasted back into her chat. So Maggie Murad, Peggy is wanting to know, is asking, do I understand that there will no longer be a teen grid? How will this affect private estates? So I'll just speak to that one, Peggy. And I think that you heard me say earlier, maybe you weren't here yet, but I thought you were, that these are two totally separate issues, and that we are currently really looking at different models for the teen Second Life. Right now we're doing a lot of getting a lot of input on that from key stakeholders to help us to make a decision that will work for everyone and solve some of the current challenges. And your other question, comment from Maggie was, I'd really like to speak a bit about the vision if we get to it. My kids have some pretty definite opinions and ideas, so maybe we'll have time for that towards the end. Let's try and save a little bit of time for that. Question from Elsa Dickens, Anna Peachy at the Open University in the UK. What is the process for responding to an abuse report? Would it be possible to have this expedited for confirmed educators? My experience of abuse reports in the past is not very positive in response time.
So I think this is a JP question, but I just want to ask what type of abuse reports are you talking about? Because that might give us, you know, a sense of how to expedite or how to anticipate what might. And you feel free to just, you know, speak. Just turn on your mic if that helps.
She was having problems with voice earlier. How are you okay now, Anna? Did you solve that?
So I can go ahead and pick up on the response to that. I think the process, and we hear this often, anyone who files, I don't know if I should say anyone, but many of the people who file abuse reports don't find the result to be satisfactory, often because they aren't the ones, they're not privy to the result, or they find that, as is often the case with an AR, the result, the desired result isn't necessarily what the terms of service and the community standards provide for, even though the person filing the AR really feels it is. In this case, I think we'll find ourselves in the same situation. If it's somebody who's obviously engaging, has inappropriate attachments and animating inappropriately in a place where, say, a classroom, that's certainly something we can respond to. And we should respond to. It's, you know, the timeliness of those sort of requests will always be contingent upon the load that's in front of that request. They're dispatched in the order they're received. If you were to say in your AR, I'm an educator, I'm holding a class, this is happening, that's certainly something that can help prioritize that response. But an AR in this scenario is probably not going to be something that's going to result in 60 seconds or less removal of the offending behavior. The process is, you know, we do the research, we investigate, we decide if it does in fact fall into a violation in the terms of service, and then the violation history of the person who is conducting that behavior. There's a little bit of a, I guess what you would call a due process, where we assume ignorance from the outset. Oftentimes that is the case. People just don't know any better. They get into this experience, and they tend to want to go wild and see what it's about and test the boundaries. And, you know, we don't necessarily want to eject and ban anybody who comes in and does that. It can often have the opposite effect, and that is to inspire them to do it more rather than to find a way to find an appropriate venue for that sort of thing. And so hopefully that answers your question. Unfortunately, I know the desired result isn't part of that answer, which I wish I could say it is. But yeah.
But I wanted to get a sense, though, Elsa. I think this was an Elsa question. What types of, you know, abuse reports are you filing and not, you know, and not getting a satisfactory result? And in other words, is it activity that's going on your land? Is it activity that's going on neighboring land? Or is it maybe, you know, content that, you know, students are finding that isn't in the right place, or that's...
And also, Anna, when was this incident? I think it was at least a year ago. Maybe you can confirm that, because we have made a lot of changes to the response time and in support. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was some time ago.
And so you reported a teen, and the teen... You reported a teen on the main grid, and the teen nonetheless was not banned from the main grid. Is that? Okay. And you think that this teen is still... Okay, he stayed until... Gee, I wish I knew something. I wish I knew enough about that to respond. Our general policy, I know, is that when we have any evidence, I mean, you know, any actual evidence, you know, that someone is a minor, and often that evidence is in the form of something they've said in chat, we require them to submit an actual form of identification. What we get in other cases... And I'm not saying we get that from educators, because I'd be shocked if we did get it from educators. But what we generally get from the broader community sometimes is are reports that someone is underage, even though, you know, as just sort of retaliation or a way to take a dig at someone. So, I mean, I guess to your basic premise... maybe it would make sense for you know, us to create other channels, so that when educators have these concerns, you know, they can go through those channels, and then, you know, maybe that's a discussion we can have.
Okay, thank you. So please hold your questions now. We've got about a little less than 15 minutes left. And we still have, I think we've got more questions, you know, enough questions that are going to take us through. So did we, let's see, did we respond? I think the next one is...
Number 10, I think.
Yeah, if it's all right with you, maybe we'll hold yours for to the end. Jeremy, since you have asked so many questions already, I'd like to let some of these other voices come through, and then we'll go back to that one. If that's, was that number? Yeah, number 10. Rafi has a question with number 11. What if someone doesn't tag their parcel as having adult content, but it still does? That would show up in search. No, didn't we answer that one?
It'll show up in search to the extent that they're using search tags that are adult.
Yeah, I think we addressed that one. Fleep, Chris Collins from the University of Cincinnati is asking, on mainland Sims, Will any consideration be given to existing community standards created by residents who live there? For example, Chilbo is a PG sim, but we feel the Second Life HIV Education and Prevention Center is appropriate in our community, even though it discusses some mature and possibly even adult content, proper condom use, etc. Or will that kind of generally mature content be forced out of PG areas?
No, that could be located in either PG or mature. I mean, you could locate that anywhere.
Okay. And 13 from Rick Rill from Global Kids. Given the multicultural international nature of Second Life, how are you thinking of responding to different cultural and religious views of adult and inappropriate content?
Yeah, it's also a very interesting question, and it's a question we've gotten. And you know that what would be considered adult, what would be obviously different in other in different cultures. Yesterday we had a meeting with some developers who pointed out that, you know, what's risque in the Vatican, that was the example that kept coming up, is not going to be risque in, you know, the United States, is not going to be risque in the Netherlands, etc. And I think, you know, the more important concept and the more important value here is that we be balanced and that we be fair and that we provide clear guidelines that apply to everyone. So that there can be predictability, regardless of where, of where you're located. We can't have different standards for different countries. It would become an unworkable experience. So, I think our challenge is going to be to create definitions that are not overbroad, and yet that target and give examples of exactly the type of activity, I mean, some of this is intuitive, but exactly the type of activity that we're talking about when we say adult, and that we enforce it consistently.
So let's take that last question from Bird and Simon. Jeremy, can you tell us what you mean by gameplay as a differentiation between PG and mature?
Right. And JP may have some thinking on this too, because it's largely a community issue, the way that we see the potential distinction between what's mature and what's PG. First, we're not going to be enforcing a distinction between mature and PG. That's going to be up to the landowner to decide whether they want to be classified as mature and PG, with certain very minor exceptions, which is to say that if you're on PG land, it really has to be a clean experience. When I say gameplay, I guess what I mean is the vast majority of the activities and content in Second Life is going to fall into that middle category, whether we call it mature or whether we find a somewhat more, you know, intuitive name for it down the road. So there are, I'm sure, going to be, you know, museums, there are going to be music venues, there are going to be lots of merchants, lots of shops. Some of them will be selling maybe risque clothing, you know, that people might wear to go into the, you know, adult places. And there will also be, you know, games, all the skill games and other, you know, types of games that we have, and all the other kinds of cool, fun, you know, fantasy-like activities that, you know, that we have. That's all going to be in that middle mature category. But then there's going to be this separate category called PG that you can locate to if you want to, but it's going to be essentially set apart at the user's control in search from the rest of that middle category. And in time it may be set apart in other ways. That's going to, you know, largely be based on the dialogue that occurs in the use cases that that come out of it. Does that, I know it's a little bit of an abstract concept, but does that give a little bit more explanation to it?
Um, I was asking if Wesley had any questions. Wesley, are you still here with us? Or did you, just because you made the effort to get here. I know Stan tried to get in, but was having some very strange issues and couldn't get here, as try as we may have been trying the whole time. Do you have any questions, or would you anticipate any questions from Stan?
No, not at this point. I was sort of expecting this discussion to be more about the team grid, but I've been listening in, and I think I'll just have to mull over those ideas that have been raised for a while.
Yeah, as I said, for the teen grid, we're addressing that as a totally separate issue, and I'll definitely be speaking with you at length about that, and hearing your thoughts and concerns. Okay, thanks. A couple. Peggy, you brought up the teen voices and said that your students have some questions, do you think that these relate particularly to adult content?
I've been basically pummeling my kids for information and attitudes and feelings and stuff in order to prepare for the Res Ed show later. And I probably had real good gut-wrenching conversations with about 24 kids who have accounts on the teen grid who are also on Ramapo. And they really got down and dirty with me. They really came clean with me, and they said, we don't go over to the main grid. And I said, this conversation has to be hypothetical. This is a need-to-know situation. And if I know that any of you are on the main grid, I have to take action. So let's just keep it hypothetical. And so they said, we don't go to the main grid for the sexually explicit stuff. There are much better places we can go for that on the Internet. Who wants to see avatars doing it? That's basically what they were saying. They said, what we go over there for is the commerce, that there's greater builds, there's greater creativity, they're exposed to more experts. So, keeping that vision in mind, I'm thinking to myself, and I know you want to keep it separate, but, this is all foundational work towards whatever vision we have to overcome the problems with adults working with kids. And keeping that vision in mind, I said to the kids, well, what would you suggest? What would be ideal for you? To just merge the teen grid with the main grid? And they said, absolutely not. And I said, okay, so what's the answer? And one of my kids, who's a really bright kid, said, we need a Venn diagram. We need that mature content on one end of the Venn diagram, the really cool predominance of the main grid and culture and commerce in the big central part, and then our teen grid on the other end. We want to keep our own place. So they're not willing to give up their own place where there's no adults. But they want access to the creativity and the innovation and the commerce that's going on in the main grid.
Thanks, Peggy. And as I mentioned to Wesley, I will be, spending time with you to get more in-depth thinking and suggestions. Okay, appreciate that. All right, so that brings us up to 4 minutes. JP and Ken, thank you for all of your great questions and input. JP and Ken, do you want to say anything to wrap up?
Just thank you. It's excellent. Thank you for coming.
Well, yeah, I'm taking away several things from this, and I'm sure we'll go over the transcripts and take away a few others. But what I'm hearing is, we may need some really, good channels for, I think we have now, but, it's always good to think about how we can make things more efficient, more direct for educators to report inappropriate conduct or not, what will be region appropriate conduct in the future, because, we understand that you have particular concerns, particular obligations to make sure that you're associating with what you want to associate with and avoiding what you need to avoid. So that's something maybe we should continue that discussion and make sure that we're able to respond when we implement this plan quickly. I mean, the second thing that I think I'm hearing as in all of these discussions is that it's really important for us to create clear definitions, not overbroad definitions, probably give examples, and in particular create, has been our attention, to create really clear and again specific exceptions for cultural, educational, and other types of activities that frankly, you know, that nobody would really expect to be categorized as adult as opposed to general use and viewing. You know, the HIV/AIDS project and some of the artistic projects that were mentioned here. So we're going to think really hard about how to make this work in that way. We definitely welcome further dialogue. Contact Claudia, contact me if you have any other thoughts. And, you know, we do really have a high level of confidence that this is going to be a very productive thing, a very useful thing for educators and for the whole community. So we thank you for coming and being part of this.
Thanks. And what will be the process for the I think we were trying to record and we're hoping to have a transcript. Is that right, guys? Just wanted to know what the process for that will be.
Peter knows that. I don't know that.
Okay.
But I think that's the answer is yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if there is, if we succeed with that, which I hope we will, I will do a group mailing to everyone that was invited and let you so that you'll be able to access that and share it with other people that you think will be interested. Great. Thank you. All right. Take care, all of you. You're doing such great work, and thank you for taking the time to be here. And applause to you, Wesley. I hope you get a good night's sleep. Good dreams to you.